In my own family, it's complicated because there seem to be an awful lot of December birthdays. Our own daughter has a birthday fairly close to Christmas, shared with my mother's sister, my mother's own birthday herself, then there's my brother-in-law 2 days after Christmas. There are others besides as well. I won't bore you with the whole list, but it's like one card after another that we're doing, sending off to people. We like to try and mark those birthdays because, of course, they get rather overshadowed by this little event called Christmas. So we try and keep them special and do something for the people concerned. And you could say, well, it's a bit like that situation with some of the characters who the church remembers after Christmas. There's a guy called St. John the Evangelist, quite important, but his special day in the church year is the 27th December. It's a bad day because everyone's really parted out. It's not really a day for particularly getting excited. Perhaps he too is a bit overshadowed. Well, interestingly, some of the writings that he has, the John's Gospel, we've just had read from, and 1 John, they remind us of John's huge contribution to the life of the church, as he remembers Jesus, or helps us to remember Jesus. And he was somebody who was a very close disciple of Jesus. He writes about how Jesus is fully God and fully man. And we see that through what he's recorded about the life of Jesus. Now, here we have writings which are fantastic. We've had a very short reading from 1 John. I want to focus on that with you just for a moment. As he says here that as we believe in this Jesus, so we enjoy fullness of life. John's Gospel says that. He says it in 1 John, this little letter to some churches in Turkey. And he reassures us that God has made himself known in Jesus Christ. And that's absolutely vital to living as a Christian. If we lose that, then we start veering off in other directions. We end up believing all sorts of nonsense. But here in 1 John, he writes some things which are very striking in the opening chapter. And I wonder whether you might just turn to that if you've got a Bible. It's at the end of the pew. It's on page 1225, 1225. And it's a very short letter. And we've just had a few verses read to us by Phil earlier. But as it starts in the opening chapter, he talked about light an awful lot, which is why we always have so many lights on. They're in the streets, you have them on the tree. Some people go completely crazy decorating their houses. Why is light so important? Well, it's a contrast, of course, to the darkness. And that's one of the big themes in 1 John. And he tells us about Jesus using that imagery, saying that Jesus is the light of revelation because he gives us sight. And Jesus is the light for navigation, giving us direction. So firstly, Jesus is the light of revelation, giving us sight. And he opens up, echoing the words of Genesis, the creation of the world, in the beginning. And you think, oh, haven't I heard that before? Yeah, we have the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, and it's echoed here. Here's something, the new creation, which is being made by Jesus. And he proclaims that Jesus is the Word of life. And he's reminding us that there is only one who can give life to the spiritually dead. Humanity is unresponsive to God. It's unable to respond. It's completely lifeless until God gives us life. And John says that he's one of the eyewitnesses. So he puts in these wonderful details for us that this is the one we've heard. This is the one we've seen. This is the one we've looked at great detail. This is the one we've touched. And that's the one we're proclaiming to you. And so he's telling us that God has made himself known in the coming of this Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful opening. And he says in verse 2, the life appeared. We've seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to you. Well, what was it like to meet him? Well, Christian faith is based on the Jesus of history. It's not a legend like King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and they all sit round to show they're equal with each other, and you know the sword been taken out of the stone. It's not like that. It's not a myth like the Greek myth of Poseidon, the one who's powerful over the sea. It's not even a clever story full of meaning like Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings with all its symbolism and its teaching all sorts of important lessons. Now, John wrote about the person of history. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So John's inviting us to come in close, come into the circle, into this great family that we're part of. And we want you to be part of it too. And that's why I've written this down. I want you to know more about Jesus Christ. So the good news of Jesus means that we can know God personally. We don't know about God only, but we know him personally. He makes that possible. And so John hammers home the point when he says, we write this to make our joy complete. In other words, the whole church believes this, and we want you to be part of that, the people of God. It makes our joy complete as we rest solidly on this reality. Jesus has made knowing God possible and personal. So Jesus is the light of revelation who gives spiritual sight. He gives us fellowship with God. Elsewhere in John's Gospel, Jesus said this, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And another writer, the Apostle Paul, writes, in him the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So everything we know about God is in Christ. That's the wonder. That's the light of revelation. Look at Jesus, we see the Father. So there's the light of revelation, but also the light for navigation in terms of the direction we're taking in life. Now, fellowship with God isn't just that we can see, but also that we can walk. And so he says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Well, he's not saying that God is like a fireball of gas, like the stars. He's not saying that God is like the energy inside one of these light bulbs. That's something that's an object. It's not real. It's not personal. But just as light shines out, so it is in the very nature of God that he will reveal himself. He will show what he's like in terms of his character. He makes himself known. He's the one who is morally pure. He's the one who is free from corruption and deception. He's the one who always acts in a just way, in a righteous way, consistently. In the Old Testament, when Isaiah, the prophet, saw a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, he heard the angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. It's not repeated because he couldn't think of another word, but it's the way of saying the God is the most pure. So elsewhere in the Old Testament, we read of there being gold, gold, gold. Not just because there were lots of it, but because it was the purest. Here we have God, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah's reaction was that he falls to the ground as if dead, because he realizes what he is like, a sinner before the holy God. He's unworthy of knowing God. He's unclean. He's unable to approach God. And that's recognizing God's awesome majesty. Well, God's truth is like light because it reveals the reality of our own sin. And so when people met Jesus, they realized what he was really like and what they were like. Peter on one occasion said, you know, depart from us. We're sinful. He couldn't bear the presence of Jesus. And that's why John gives us a straight talking to in verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So there's the reality check for all of us. We once hired some glasses for a party on the understanding that we return them clean. That's fair enough. There's a deposit just in case you break some and all the rest of it. And they looked okay in the box and brought them back home. And then in the daylight in the kitchen, just before everyone was about to arrive, I could see as I held up the glasses that they had one or two marks on them. There were some fingerprints. I found some lipstick on a couple of them. And there was some surface scum. And of course, in the box, they looked fine, but in the sunlight, you could see everything. And they certainly needed another wash. Well, as we spend time with God, the reality is that because he is holy, we will realize our shortcomings. However good we might think we're very clean, but before God we realize that there are marks on us and we need to have those dealt with. And by God's grace, he enables us to be dealt with so that we can approach him, the Holy One. We read this in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so Jesus' followers are not those who are hypocrites. Well, they shouldn't be hypocrites. Sometimes that's the charge thrown at Christians. Those people who go to church are just hypocrites. No, no, the Christian is the person who actually admits that they do wrong and they need forgiveness. And that's what they seek from God. They need his power to help them to change. They need his cleansing to clean us up before him. And then as a consequence, they commit themselves to his way, no matter what the cost, serving his purposes rather than their own. And that may mean the end of many things that we've aimed for in life, but we say it's worth giving those up to serve God's purposes. I once heard the story of a man who approached a preacher after a service, and during the conversation, he said how marvellous the preacher was and how much he enjoyed his sermon. Always helped the preacher, of course. And he said, "I haven't sinned for 15 years. And the preacher was stunned, but he thought he'd play along for a bit. And he said, "I've never met such a person before. How amazing. How wonderful. How is that possible?" And the man said, "Well, it's by the grace of God. He's given me a new heart, and I haven't sinned for the last 15 years. The preacher asked him, "Are you married?" He said, "Yes, I am. Why is that important?" He said, "Is your wife here tonight?" He said, "Yes, she's over there in the red coat." And so the preacher said to him, "Do you mind if I go and speak with her?" No, the man replied slightly nervously, "but what do you want to speak to her about?" The preacher said, "Your sinless life." And the man said, "She doesn't agree with me." It's very easy for us to move the goalposts, to pretend that our lives are very different from how they really are. It's very easy for us to accommodate and say, "Well, it was just the once," or "I didn't mean it." It's very easy for us to compare ourselves and say, "Well, you should meet my neighbour or that person in my family who's very peculiar. I'm much better than them." But before God, as we come to Jesus Christ, we realize what a real man is like, what a holy person is like, because he is God. Jesus is the only one who's innocent. And that's why John says with confidence that it's the blood of Christ which is shed for our sins, which purifies us. He pays our debt of sin. He cleanses us from its defiling effect. He alone can reconcile us to God, making the two at one again. Well, knowing that God is light gives us the light of revelation, providing us with sight. We see God as he really is. But he also provides the light for navigation, to give us direction. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you've been enlisted in the battle against sin and evil to march under the banner of the cross. If you've not yet given your life to Christ, he alone is the only way. That's why we go completely nuts about Christmas. The presents are meaningless unless we appreciate the presence of God amongst us in Jesus Christ. So this Christmas time, then why don't you join in proclaiming this amazing truth? Many people will have parties around the country and it's been turned into something other than how it started out as. But have you caught in your mind and heart the reality, the light of revelation, and the light for navigation in life? John says, once you get to grips with that, then we experience life in all its fullness. Well, that's the thing which is here before us tonight as we remember Christ. Being born, living his life, dying for us, rising again, returning to heaven where he came from in the first place. I wonder whether you'll commit yourself to him. Well, let us have a short prayer together and